From theunce.com, this is the Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com. Hello and welcome to the Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. My guest this week is Renaissance man Jamie Janover. This guy does it all. He's a photographer, sculptor, inventor, and musician. He won the 2002 National Hammered Dulcimer Championship, has shared the stage with Phish, Government Mules, Stanley Jordan, and other legends, and he's the organizer of the electronic music festival Sonic Bloom, taking place this weekend in Colorado. His new project is Lynx and Janover. They'll be releasing an album this summer. Lots to get to today, so let's dive right in.
I can't believe you're self-taught on all the instruments that you play. Is that true? You haven't taken any sort of formal lessons for any of the billions of things you play?
When I was in junior high school, I took some drum lessons, you know, just like basic stuff. But basically, I encountered the hammered dulcimer and just started playing it because I thought it was a cool percussion instrument. I just kind of taught myself that instrument and continued to play drum kit and moved to Boulder and started playing more gigs on percussion, like Latin and jazz and that kind of stuff.
Now, there aren't too many rock stars out there that play the hammered dulcimer, not a lot of people to idolize. How were you introduced to the instrument?
My uncle is a folk musician, and he was playing it kind of in traditional music context. And so I just started banging on one of his at his house and then just kept on playing it. You know, I just kind of developed my own improvisational style because I grew up listening to all kinds of, you know, instrumental and improvisational music, including, you know, jazz, Indian music, jam bands, rock, all that kind of stuff. So I didn't, like, kind of learn the traditional repertoire of this instrument. I just started kind of inventing it as I went.
Now, you moved out to Colorado in 95. What is it about the Boulder, Denver, Fort Collins area that promotes such creativity? What is it about that region that just draws people in, artists, people who are constantly creating?
It's a fast-growing area in general in terms of people moving there because it's got a really high quality of life. And, you know, it's long been a hotbed for music. And I think that there was a period in, like, the 90s where bluegrass became really popular, fueled by things like Telluride Bluegrass Festival. And I used to work for Telluride Bluegrass Festival, actually, both as a photographer and doing tweeners, playing solo hammer dulcimer in between stage acts. And so things like String Cheese Incident and Leftover Salmon kind of grew out of that scene and followed a tradition of jam bands in the Grateful Dead Phish lineage. And then the wave has continued with the next round, which is electronic music emerging as a very popular style, and I think that kind of grew out of the jam band thing. Maybe one of the seeds of that was, you know, collaborations between people like Michael Kang of String Cheese and Lauren Bass Nectar, because then all of a sudden all these kids that like String Cheese and bluegrass were like, oh, I actually do like electronic DJ music. I didn't realize I liked that until I heard this stuff. Just saying electronic music is like saying rock, you know. Joni Mitchell is rock, and Metallica is rock, and so you can't just say electronic. If you say electronic, I think a lot of kids think of techno and house and styles of music that maybe aren't their favorite, but there's so many different things happening, and electronic music out there is really diverse, and there's really beautiful, accessible, aesthetic electronic music that appeals to people that don't normally, like, think of themselves looking at style.
I definitely want to get back to that electronic music aspect in just a second, but first, tell me about your time at the Double Dig. It seems like any musician in Colorado worth his salt lived at or jammed there at one time or another, and that seems to be a really formative era in your musical career.
Yeah, that's right. When I moved to Boulder in 95, I moved into a house called Double Dig Farm, and right into, you know, this house where Michael Kang and Michael Travis from String Cheese were living. And this is in 95, the time when String Cheese Incident was playing at the Mountain Sun in Boulder. And they were like, someday we're going to play Red Rocks. And I was like, yeah, man, go for it. It sounds like it. And of course, this summer they've sold out Joe at Red Rocks for the last many years that they've done it. So obviously that became successful. And Dave Watts, the kind of leader of the motet, lived there, and Maya Dorn, who is now in a band called Sweet Snacks and was in a band with Dave called Skin. And Tony Furtado lived there, the great banjo and slide guitar player, and a number of other musicians that were, you know, members of local bands in Boulder. And so that was kind of a time when there'd be all these jam sessions. I was there when, you know, Kyle Hollingsworth came over for a jam and met the guys from String Cheese. And of course he later joined String Cheese. And so it was kind of like a seed pod of, you know, musical growth for the Boulder area. And that lasted for about 4 or 5 years. And then that house disbanded because it got torn down to make way for a housing development. But, you know, all those people continue to be active in Colorado music to this day.
When you started playing with these big shot virtuosos who've been schooling for years, did you ever feel out of place or like you couldn't hang?
I mean, I feel like I have a fairly realistic view of my playing, and I'm not one of these guys that can read any chart. It's not like you can throw a piece of classical music or a complex jazz chart in front of me and I can just like play right off the page. And I have played with a bunch of musicians that are like that. And so in that context, when, you know, I'm playing with a bunch of heavyweight reader guys, then I sometimes feel a little not up to speed with those guys. But luckily I know when to lay out and not try to push myself into musical areas that I'm not as comfortable with. And so I'm good at like adapting to situations in terms of like playing more rhythm stuff and like playing stuff that's more accompaniment and maybe not trying to like solo. Or I feel like, you know, I've been lucky enough for a lot of musicians in my history to give me an opportunity to sit in with them. And, you know, for example, Phish let me play with them a couple times. And then from there, other bands like Jazz Mandolin Project and Keller Williams and Leftover Salmon and String Cheese. And so after playing with a bunch of those guys, then other bands would say, oh, this guy's good sit in, you know, because I feel like when I play with somebody, I'm trying to be a musical chameleon or a musical MSG and like play only things that are going to enhance the music and not be like, hey, check me out, listen to what I can do. More like be like, well, I'm a member of this band now and I'm fighting with them for years, even though I'm just sitting in with them for the first time, and play something that's very musically appropriate and not just like try to like play a bunch of fireworks over the top of what they're doing. And for that reason, I think I've gotten, you know, to be able to be a guest and sit in with people like hundreds of times at this point.
Exalted Earthworm from Zilla. That's Eyodo's Michael Travis, Aaron Holstein, a.k.a. Vibe Squad, and of course my guest, Jamie Janover on Hammered Dulcimer. There will be a special Zilla set at this weekend's Sonic Bloom Festival in Colorado.
Now, you are such an inextricable part of the jam scene. What was your introduction into electronic music? Do you remember a significant time or place where you're like, oh, this is what electronic music is? It's not, you know, some preconceived notion you had, a time when you realized you had that same experience that you were talking about with other people. Oh, this is what electronic music is. I do like this.
It's hard to nail down a moment of time, but I do remember I've been really into Indian music for a long time. And somebody turned me on to Karsh Kale for his early records, and I really liked it. It had elements of electronica in it. It wasn't just traditional Indian music. And so I'm actually very psyched and honored to have Karsh Kali coming to Sonic Bloom this year. That he was kind of, he's been in my wish list for artists to come to Sonic Bloom for a long time, and I just never even really reached out to him. And this year I was like, what the hell, just see if he's interested. And much to my surprise and delight, he's like, yeah, it looks like a really cool event. I'm sure I'll come play. I'm like, great. So I think that was one of the early, I kind of got into electronic music through Indian music and also watching bands like Sector 9 go from like playing the pool party at High Sierra in 1996 to like developing their sound, and the world that I came from, jam bands, starting to become more and more influenced by electronic styles. And to a lesser degree, Phish started having electronic elements, and certainly String Cheese started having electronic elements. And, you know, I turned Travis on to a lot of different music that I was coming across, because he was coming, you know, the more playing in a bluegrass band element and living with him and stuff. I'd be like, check this out, check this out.
Now look what you've done. You've created a monster.
I know. I remember introducing Travis to dubstep, and he was like, dubstep? What's the? He's like, I don't know. It's a little dark for me. I'm not really feeling it. And Aaron Holstein and I were like, what? Dude, what are you talking about? And I think that was in the early days of dubstep when most of it was like super aggro, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But now Iodo arguably does like 75% live dubstep in their shows.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty classic.
Right. So tell me about your latest project with singer-songwriter, rapper, beatboxer, Lynx, whatever you want to call, you know, everything she does is. Sort of tell me about how that came along and where it is now.
It came along because Zilla was playing at Joshua Tree Music Festival, and Lynx sat in with Hamza Leela, and we were like, wow, check her out. She's a pretty great beatboxer. Maybe we should have her sit in with Zilla. So we asked her to sit in. She did. And then we were like, yeah, that sounded great. If you want to come sit in with us some other time, you should come sit in. And she came and sat in with us at Horning's Hideout and a few other shows. And then eventually I was like, now Zilla's going to not tour as much. We're only going to do like more occasional special events and festivals, so I have more time to tour on my own. And I called her up and was like, what do you think about going out and doing some shows? You know, I'll do my set, you do your set, and then maybe we'll like jam together at the end and play together. And so we got together to rehearse, which is not going to play together, and then it was pretty quick that we just realized, man, we should play on each other's stuff. Let's just play together the whole time. And just organically, we're like, let's just call a band like Lynx and Jamie Janover. It was originally Lynx and Jamie Janover, and we shortened it to Lynx and Janover. So we've been doing that for 2 years, you know, as kind of our main project, and this year we're playing at like 25 festivals.
That's great. That's great. And your Between Worlds EP is out now?
Yeah, that's been out for about a year, or 11 months it's been out.
And are you working on slowly filling that up to a full record?
Well, that record's been out for a while, and we're working on another record, which should come out sometime this summer.
From Lynx and Janover's EP, Between Worlds. Let's wrap things up with Jamie Janover right here on the UNS podcast.
I want to get at Sonic Bloom, what it's all about, what you're trying to do this year. And, you know, you've been to probably hundreds of festivals at this point. What sort of elements from some of your favorite festivals are you trying to make sure appear, at least in some part, at Sonic Bloom?
Sonic Bloom is mostly modeled after some of my favorite festivals on the west coast of the U.S. and Shambhala in Nelson, British Columbia. So things like Lightning in a Bottle and Symbiosis and Emergency and Rain Dance and these events that are camping and electronic music festivals, and with the emphasis of going really late. A lot of festivals are like done at like midnight or done at 1 in the morning or 2 in the morning. And I think the best time is that right before the sun comes up, when it starts to get light out and you've gone all night dancing, that's when you really hit the zone. And so Sonic Bloom goes until 6 in the morning.
All right.
Sonic Bloom is not just music, you know, it's trying to help facilitate, you know, creativity. And we're going to have some workshops in the camping that include everything from, you know, holistic health kind of things all the way to, you know, I'm doing a talk on unified field theory and physics because I do a bunch of these talks for a physicist named Nassim Haramein. I present his unified field theory in a PowerPoint presentation. So I'll be doing that as well. And hopefully, you know, facilitating a lot of communication and community because the music happens, you know, starting when it gets dark during the day, everybody's chilling out and hanging and, you know, powwowing in the camping. You know, it's dusk till dawn.
Now, it's almost a completely electronic music festival. How did you put together the lineup?
I mean, it's live electronic and electronic. So, I mean, you've got live acts like Zilla and Yodo and Lacey Janover and Big Gigantic and Octopus Nebula and Signal Path and, you know, bands like that, and then a bunch of producers. And the lineup is based on really just kind of an aesthetic of styles of electronic music that are appreciated and loved on the West Coast and in Colorado. There's not really that much trance or techno or drum and bass. It's mostly more medium tempo and down tempo styles, including dubstep and glitch and hip hop and, you know, some electro and some breaks and, you know, styles like that that aren't necessarily as like beating you over the head really fast, kind of hyper styles. It's more like groovy and dance oriented.
That's great. And now you recently collaborated with the Unts on this DJ contest. How did you come up with that idea for getting, you know, up and comers out there at the festival?
Well, I've always been, you know, looking to do that. I've always had local acts play, and, you know, I'm a musician and a touring musician, and I have been for like 20 years. And so part of the reason I am where I am is that, you know, other people, whether it be artists or promoters or festivals, gave me a break when I was fairly, you know, young in my career and didn't have a lot of exposure. And I was given opportunities to do my music and my creativity at various events. And I just feel like it's important to pass that along and give people that are eager and talented and young and have really amazing music, give them a platform to actually like play it in front of people. So the lineup has some headliners, but all the music is going to be quality music, whether they're famous, quote unquote, you know, artists or not.
That's great. Jamie Janover, thank you so much for being on the Unts podcast.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I really appreciate your including me and appreciate, of course, you know, the aspect of what you're doing, which is to help spread the music, spread the information, you know, get it out to an audience. You're an important conduit of taking the music from inside some musician's head to the people who are actually hearing the music. So for that, I thank you, actually.
Oh boy, Jamie, you're going to make us blush. We did not pay for him to say that. For help with this week's podcast, special thanks goes out to Billy Joe Beattie and Amy Heinrich with Tsunami Publicity, and of course, my guest, Jamie Janover. Tickets are still available for the Sonic Bloom Festival taking place this weekend, June 25th through the 27th, at Mishawaka Amphitheater in Bellevue, Colorado. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints, or you'd like to be a guest on the program, contact me at anand@theunts.com. That's A-N-A-N-D at theunts.com. Remember to visit theunts.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. You can also hear tracks from the Unts' DJ at Sonic Bloom contest winners on our website. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. If you want to find out how you can support the Unts in your area, contact Avi at theunts.com. That's A-V-I at theunts.com. Catch you next week.